go rebuild my church, which as you can see is falling into ruins. These are the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi from an image of Christ on the crucifix at San Damiano in 1205 AD. These same words inspired Peter Doan, the host of the program you're about to hear. Peter challenges all of us to rebuild not the brick and mortars of our church buildings, but our personal faith and relationships that will rebuild and strengthen the church. Now here's today's program.
Hi, I'm Peter Doan, and along with my wife Leslie Doan, you're listening to the radio broadcast Go Rebuild My Church. Each week in this broadcast, we'll explore ways to put into practice the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi by our Lord Jesus, and how this theme is relevant as we seek to bring renewal to the church today. I'm not joined by my wife today, as I normally am. She had an accident and is recovering, and we're going to give her wonderful testimony when she comes back in a week or two. Leslie's and my passion for renewal was ignited when we came home to the Catholic Church 13 years ago. And that was when we heard the call to rebuild, and we joined efforts with many other renewal movements within the church. And you can learn more about our journey home and our lay apostolate dedicated to renewal in the Catholic Church by visiting our website at www.catholicdiscipleshipministries.org. Our prayer is through this ministry of the radio program and our lay apostolate, we can provide pathways for you as individuals, families, and as well as parishes to join the rebuilding process and experience renewal. Now, if you're joining us for the first time, we began a new series of broadcasts that call forth the process of spiritual rebuilding and renewal of local churches found in the book of Revelation. These sacred scriptures are so enlightening and encouraging, especially in these days, which we now find ourselves, right? With so much being shaken both in the church and the world, the apocalypse brings the message of Jesus Christ as our victor king. Now, through these new broadcasts, we hope to show how Jesus has been really calling parishes to rebuild and renew throughout history, even dating back to these churches in the first century. In these broadcasts, we're pulling together the sacred scripture, excerpts from the catechism, and I will be using the catechism today to share some things, the lives of the saints, and the teaching of the church as we seek to challenge individuals, families, and local parishes to rebuild and renew Catholic faith here in America. We want to continue to study this amazing and, yes, mysterious and very difficult portion of sacred scripture while finding in its beginning chapters this call to rebuild and renew. The first church that Jesus addressed was that powerful church at Ephesus, and we talked about that last time. We saw that this church was an example of Catholic orthodoxy and doctrine, along with several other commendable attributes, but it lacked what Jesus referred to as the first love. And that was a powerful example that we talked about that I think it's worth reviewing about what it means to lose the first love in sacred scripture. And I want to refer to a passage in the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. And that's a passage that most of us are familiar with probably, where St. Peter, the first pope, he denied knowing Jesus three times in the middle of our Lord's passion. He left his first love. He needed to be restored, and Jesus showed him the path of restoration. Let's read that encounter. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Now, as mentioned before, this is a passage where it really is essential to know the original language of the New Testament, Koine Greek. Because Jesus says, Simon, son of John, do you love? And that word there, love, is agape. I mean, in other words, Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love, but he uses the word phileo, love you. So Jesus is asking Peter here if he loves him with the love that's marked by sacrificial, complete, and heroic love, that agape love. Peter's response was, Lord, I have a friendly affection for you, but not agape. Again, that sacrificial, complete, and heroic love. So St. Peter, what had happened here, I think, he came to the reality as a result of his denying Jesus, that he did not love the Lord the way that he had boasted. Remember, he said, Lord, I'll never deny you. This back and forth goes on three times. And then the third time, it's very interesting. Jesus uses the word phileo to Peter. Peter, do you phileo me? The same one Peter was using. And it's as if Jesus is saying, Peter, I will start where you're at with me, but I love you so much. Over time, I will transform you into this agape love. But Jesus didn't leave St. Peter just with a vision for that, did he? But he gave him a pathway to that agape love. And this is what Jesus, remember, said to him. First of all, he tells him, feed my lambs. And the lambs are the little ones, probably not just children physically, but maybe children spiritually, the young ones in Peter's flock. Then he said, tend my sheep. In other words, don't only teach my people, Peter, but pastor them, show them my love, my affection for them. And then thirdly, he said, Peter, also feed my sheep, give my mature people spiritual food. And then later on in this passage, this final thing that Jesus offers Peter as a final way to that agape that Jesus talked about, he said, Peter, when you grow old, you'll go where you don't want to go. And he was signaling to Peter the death by which he would glorify God. And as history taught us, Peter was crucified upside down because he did not think he was worthy to be crucified the way his Lord was. All this, I think, demonstrates through Peter's example, this agape love, this first love that can be lost like Peter did. It comes to us through the working of the Holy Spirit as we follow Jesus, because Jesus said to Peter then, come, follow me. Jesus also offered that Ephesian church that we talked about, the first church that's spoken to in the book of Revelation, a pathway back to that first love as well. And remember, it began with repentance. The Lord told the Ephesian church that they needed to repent. They needed to change their thinking, change their way of action, etc. And then secondly, Jesus told that church at Ephesus to do the works you did at first. And we talked about how the early believers, right after Pentecost, had their works, right? Their works Jesus gave Peter to do to get back to being the lead apostle. And remember the last time that we spoke of the Ephesian church, we described the works that Leslie and I did when we first encountered the Lord. When I went up in the room and called upon the name of the Lord and he came in and swept me away, all of a sudden, I found myself beginning to read the scriptures to hours at a time. I went to church gatherings daily. I loved to speak about Jesus for hours on end. I listened to the Christian radio every night when I went to bed. My personal life was cleaned up very quickly. And of course, over the years, I've experienced, like the Ephesian church did, sometimes back and forth, where I too had to come back to the first love. Now, we're going to take a short break right now. And when we return, we will discuss the second local church in the book of Revelation, the church at Smyrna. So stay tuned.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood, in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Alexa, what's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa, what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church. Today I'm discussing the second of seven local parishes in chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation, that church at Smyrna. What about the city of Smyrna? What should we know about that? Well, first of all, Smyrna was the center of the imperial cult in Asia Minor. In other words, that was the place where the first temple in Asia for worship of the Emperor Tiberius, built in AD 26, may have been the reason why this church was so persecuted. This church became famous also in Christian history for its wonderful martyr and bishop, St. Polycarp, who died in 155 AD. Many people say that Polycarp was a direct disciple of the apostle St. John. Let me read the scriptures that talk about what Jesus had to say to the church at Smyrna. "And to the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these are the words of the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your affliction and your poverty, even though you are rich. I know the slander on the part of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Beware, the devil's about to throw some of you into prison so that you may be tested. And for 10 days, you will have affliction. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Let everyone who has an ear to listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches, whoever conquers will not be harmed by the second death." So this is what Jesus had to say to the church at Smyrna. And he speaks of himself, first of all here, if you'll notice, as the first and the last, the one who was dead and came to life. He mentions to them and commends their affliction and their poverty. His affliction because of many people would say, many commentators think, that they would not bow to the emperor because this was such a key place where emperor worship took place, and the Christians would not bow to the emperor. So there was lots of affliction going on in this church. And also a poverty, possibly because they were not able to prosper economically because they were outcasts, because they would not worship the Caesar. But in the eyes of the Lord, it's really interesting, isn't it? That in the midst of their persecution, it says the Lord looked at them and said that they were rich. Now, what's going on in this church? What can we surmise? So the Roman Empire exempted the Jews from idolatrous rituals. I don't know how many of you know that, but the Jews were not forced to worship Caesar because the Romans recognized the Jews as an ancient religion. But not so with the Christians. They had no legal protection. And these Jewish leaders, the same ones that would have put Jesus to death, became instruments of Satan, that Jesus calls them, just as they had with Jesus himself. The interesting thing is, it says that it's thrown in prison for 10 days. That's obviously a symbolic number. 10 in the Bible, interestingly, is a number for God's order, his completeness, authority, and divine protection. We all can think of the Ten Commandments, right? Or the Passover was on the 10th day of the first month. Or the Lord sent 10 plagues in Egypt to set his people free. And also, of course, we think of the tithe that was a tenth in the Old Testament. And I love this. Jesus said that their faithfulness will bring them a crown of life. Remember St. Paul, when he was just about ready to be beheaded in prison, he said that there was awaiting for him a crown of righteousness that will be laid up for everybody who loves the Lord's appearing. It's interesting here when Jesus talks to the church, he says that whoever conquers will not be harmed by the second death. So the Lord is reminding them in the midst of these persecutions, he's talking about look towards the future, that you are going to be rewarded, number one. And then secondly, you will not be harmed by the second death. Now, what's the second death that Jesus is talking to this church about? And I think it's really good at this point to talk about what the church calls as the four last things. And that's death, judgment, heaven and hell, because the Lord is saying to them, in order to get through your persecution, think of these last things and think of the fact that you are going to inherit a crown. And I'd like to read some excerpts from the Catechism that talks about, just in brief, what are these four last things that you and I, as well as these Christians in Smyrna, will face as we go meet the Lord on our time when we die. And if you read the Catechism, you'll notice that it goes through paragraphs, and then after each section, it summarizes what has just been said. And I'd like to read some of the summary on the four last things. Some of us may not be aware of these things, and it's good to remind ourselves of this. First of all, the Catechism says, every man receives his eternal recompense in his immortal soul from the moment of his death in what's called a particular judgment by Christ, the judge of the living and the dead. In other words, when each of us die, each one of us will appear what the scripture calls the judgment seat of Christ. And this is a particular judgment where the Lord will review our life and give us our reward. Catechism goes on to say, we believe that the souls of all who die in Christ's grace, amen to that, are the people of God beyond death. On the day of resurrection, death will be definitely conquered when those souls will be reunited with their bodies. That is called the final judgment, when all those that have ever lived will appear and be judged. The Catechism goes on to say, we believe that the multitude of those gathered around Jesus and Mary in paradise forms the church of heaven, where in eternal blessedness they see God as he is, and where they are also, to various degrees, that's interesting, associated with the holy angels and the divine governance exercised by Christ. This is a wonderful hope for us to look, and you can see why, again, the Lord is telling these persecuted Christians in Smyrna to not look at their circumstances, but to look to the future and life eternally with Jesus Christ. The Catechism then says, those who die in God's grace and friendship, imperfectly purified, although they are assured of their eternal salvation, undergo a purification after death. And of course, we as Catholics know that that is purgatory. That is a temporary state that also has the hope of heaven with it. The Catechism then says, by virtue of the communion of the saints, the Church commends the dead to God's mercy and offers her prayers, especially the holy sacrifice of the Eucharist, on their behalf. And then finally, this is kind of going back to where Jesus said, you don't need to fear the second death, right? He said, the church prays that no one should be lost. Lord, let never us be departed from you. It is true that no one can save himself, the Catechism said. It is also true that God desires all men to be saved. And then finally, the Catechism mentions to us that there's going to be this time when we all appear before the Lord, and that's where Jesus said, you won't experience the second death. We're going to take another short break now, and when we return, we will discuss what it means to be a persecuted church like the church at Smyrna was experiencing.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood, in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Catholic Radio Indy has a new look. It's our website. Yes, we have a new website that makes everything about Catholic Radio Indy easier. It's clean, straightforward, and simple to use. You can listen to us live, see our schedule, and our map. You can even silence your phone and take it right into Mass to follow the daily readings. And don't forget, you can get all of our programming through the podcast tab. This makes everything so much easier. So just go to CatholicRadioIndy.org and check us out.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church. Today we're moving on with our new series, The Seven Churches of the Book of Revelation. The second church Jesus addressed was a church in Smyrna. This church is suffering, was suffering, a severe persecution forged by Satan, and this is only one of the two of seven churches that Jesus was able to commend. They weren't called to repent because it seems like that they were pleasing the Lord. I would like to take the rest of our time together in this broadcast to give you, our listening audience, an idea of just where persecutions are going on in the world. I think it's really good for us to know and think about our brothers and sisters throughout the world that are being persecuted. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, we are told by the Hebrew writer to remember those that are persecuted. Now, these people right now throughout the world that are being persecuted don't necessarily live in the same region or even the same continent, but they share an important characteristic. They suffer because of their faith. Persecution takes many forms, of course, doesn't it? But it's defined as simply an hostility experienced as a result of identifying with Jesus Christ. And persecution, again, can take many forms. Our brothers and sisters can be attacked. They can be discriminated against at work and at school. It seems like the people at Smyrna suffered economically because of their faith. They risk sexual violence, torture, arrest, and even more. Let me give you some quick statistics from 2021 to give us an idea of just how much persecution is going on among Christians in the world. This comes from an organization that keeps these statistics called Open Doors USA. Over 360 million Christians live in places where they experience high levels of persecution and discrimination. 360 million. In 2021, over 5,800 Christians were killed for their faith. Like I said, this organization really tracks all these numbers. Also, over 5,100 churches and Christian assemblies were attacked in 2021 alone. And then finally, the last statistic, over 4,700 believers were detained without trial, arrested, and sentenced or imprisoned. In fact, to bring this really home, some of you may know the name of Cardinal Zen, Z-E-N, who is a Chinese cardinal, who right now, as I speak, is on trial in Hong Kong by the Chinese government. And people are encouraging all of us to pray for Cardinal Zen. I believe he's about 90 years old, and he is a wonderful cardinal and wonderful leader in the church. So why does Christian persecution happen throughout the world? And let me give you five quick reasons why. Number one, authoritarian governments who view Christianity as a threat to their power. Good examples would be North Korea and China, right? Secondly, there's a suspicion of anything outside the majority of cultural faith. For instance, like in India, Hindu nationalists claim to be Indian means to be Hindu. And so persecution goes on because of that. Thirdly, extremist groups who want to destroy Christians. For instance, like places like in the Middle East, in Nigeria, for instance, Islamic extremist groups terrorize communities and churches, killing those who they consider as infidels. In my evangelical days, I did a lot of work in Nigeria, and I get reports regularly of Christians, Catholics, and evangelicals that are getting kidnapped, are getting persecuted, and some dying and are martyrs for the faith in Nigeria. When you think of Nigeria, please pray for your brothers and sisters there. The fourth reason is that there's an official and cultural domination of a single religion in a country that could cause persecution. For instance, like in Pakistan, the laws are guided by Islamic law, which means if a Christian is accused of blasphemy, they can be sentenced to death. And fifthly, religious freedom is a disrespected human right in some countries. And so some people live under governments today that abuse or restrict freedom of religion. So with all the headlines that go on in all these different places where our brothers and sisters are persecuted, what exactly can we do? Well, fortunately, sacred scripture provides us with fitting examples. One of the most powerful things that we can do to support our brothers and sisters is to pray for them. And how do we pray for them? We can pray for them, number one, that whatever their circumstances, God will give these persecuted Christians the right words to say when they're brought before the magistrates. Number two, pray that persecuted Christians will understand and find peace and God's grace even in their weakness. Number three, pray that Christians facing hardship will draw from a source of power larger than themselves. Like St. Paul said, he said, we don't rely upon ourselves, but God who raises the dead. Fourthly, pray God would be present with these persecuted Christians in their hardship, protecting them according to God's will. Remember, Jesus said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Let's pray that, if possible, this cup would pass over our brothers and sisters. And finally, pray their witness would inspire those who seek to harm them. Remember Paul and Silas, they were persecuted and in prison, and their testimony brought the Philippian jailer and his whole family to the Lord himself. At this point, I think it would be really good for us to pray for these persecuted millions of Christians that are throughout the world. Heavenly Father, like Hebrews 13 teaches us, we hold up our persecuted brothers and sisters throughout the world. Give them strength, Lord, this very moment. Protect them, surround them, and please deliver them according to your will. Give them strength and courage to testify to who you are, that they belong to you and are serving you. And we pray for them in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you, listeners, for joining me today as we seek to connect individuals, families, and parishes to the rebuilding and renewal of the Catholic faith here in America. To hear our programs, go to CatholicRadioIndy.org, and you can access all previous broadcasts through the podcast tab on the webpage. You can download the Catholic Radio Indy app from your app store and listen 24/7. And you can also say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy. And make sure you become a regular listener of Catholic Radio Indy. Goodbye for now, and keep the faith.
You've been listening to Go Rebuild My Church with Peter Doan. Podcasts of this program are available at www.catholicradioindy.org.